Hey everybody, this is James Dutton. Welcome to the 1% podcast, where we get 1% better in one way every single day. Hey, I encourage you to share this podcast, whether you invite people to listen with you, if you share the link on Snapchat, Instagram, or Facebook. Let people know. It's not because I care about making a name for myself. I really couldn't care less. My hope is that together we can make a difference. So let's band together. Let's hold hands in this thing and let's bring this to other people, because this is going to make a difference. So I encourage you to get out a notepad. I'm going to keep these short and to the point. I want to motivate your mind to work, to be challenged, to wrestle with things. So I'm not going to extrapolate on everything. If you have questions or ideas, thoughts, then call in or message me. Comment on Facebook or Instagram. If you want to follow me on Instagram and message me there, my at name is The James Dutton. So that's THEJAMESDUTTON. And again, my name is James Dutton. So you can find me on Facebook and we can connect that way too. Tonight, the topic and the title is The Power of Pain. Pain, man, that comes in so many different forms and faces. Rejection, being misunderstood, failure, abuse, family dysfunction, misusing sex, death, loss, breakups, you name it, it comes in all ways. And the truth is that pain can form you if you let it, but it also can be a directing force in your life. And here's the thing, is direction is linked with destination, and destination is the same root word as destiny. So those two are obviously linked. So your direction determines your destiny, and your pain is a part of your direction. So let me ask you a question, is what is happening with your pain? Are you getting bitter or are you getting better? Because you choose. And here's the thing, is whether it's a circumstance, a situation, or a person who's caused the pain, if it's a person and you're sticking with the bitterness, the thing is that bitterness is a poison that we drink hoping it'll hurt the other person. We could do a whole podcast on unforgiveness, but here's the thing, is with your pain, are you inspired to go further, or are you discouraged into dysfunction? Are you inspired to go further, or are you discouraged into dysfunction? Do we chase after what we're meant to be, or are we relegated to what we feel like we can be, or what other people say we should be because of our painful experiences? Like I said, you choose what your pain does. Does it motivate you, or do you let it defeat you? Pain purifies and it refines, but it also muddles and confuses. Sometimes it does both things at the same time. It's a double-edged sword. Now I'm going to talk for a second about the failure pain. Failure. If you failed, welcome to the human race. I'm just going to talk about this because if it's anything that I'm a expert in, it's failing. Honestly, I think there's different types of failure. If you've failed in a marriage, like in your commitment, if you failed in a job place and let people down, or if you failed because you're striving and trying to do something great, I think those are different types of failure. I believe in failing forward. If I'm going to make a mistake, I want to learn from it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, hoping it'll somehow form a different result. I hope that I can fail towards progress. I want to fall forward. If I'm going to mess up, I'm going to mess up making a name for my mistakes. And what I mean by that is not to put my mistakes on blast, but like I want to build something. And so I think a precursor to success, and I've had a moderate amount of success in my life and the things that I've done, but nothing to write home about. But in my success, everything that I've been successful in has been always through failure. And so the thing is that I've had a, let me just talk about this for a second. I've had a lot of drug addicts and with drug addicts in my family, like in my family, I've had a lot of drug addicts. And so with drug addicts in my family, I've watched them in this cycle of self-destruction where they go over and over and over the same thing and somehow hope that something different will come. And then they end up blaming other people, whether they be my family or friends that I've seen do this. They blame other people for their calamity. But the thing is that you're doing the same thing. If you want something different, then you have to do something you've never done. If you want something that you've never had, then you have to do something that you've never done. So in order to fail progressively, we got to fail forward, people. Don't be making the same things. Don't be cyclical in this thing. Don't be in a cycle. Don't make it just a season where you're hurting and wounding yourself. If you're going to fail, like I said, fail forward. Let's make progress. Learn from your mistakes. Don't repeat them. If you do repeat them, have people to hold you accountable so you don't go back in the same direction. Don't degress. We got to progress. You got to put one foot in front of the other. So it's nothing wrong with failure if you learn from it and go forward. But don't aim for it. Don't accept it, but learn. Moving on from failure and moving into a different topic, I had someone send in a question. It's a pretty common question. I got it a few times. I was talking about, what do I do in the case of a rejection in a relationship, or what do I do if I feel like I have to break up, even though it's painful and I don't want to? Let me speak on the rejection part, because I know a lot of girls have been sidelined by this and just feel like they have an issue with their worth. And I know a lot of guys, you know, get messed up because they've tried to get their, whether it's their affirmation and their masculinity from a woman, or their worth from a woman, or multiple women, or maybe they just can't get one. But let me just speak to the rejection. I think that rejection is a redirection from God. Let me say it again. Rejection is a redirection. So a lot of times people don't see what's directly in front of them. A diamond in front of a blind man doesn't devalue the diamond or make it any less beautiful just because the blind man can't see it. He just can't see it. Rejection can sometimes be God's way of saying, you're flying too low and you had no business being in that person's altitude anyways. I really think there's some people with amazing worth out there who've been rejected. I've experienced rejection in my life, and I've had to back up, step into a place of understanding, be like, okay, God, why did this happen? What's wrong? Honestly, a lot of times people can't see another person for their worth, what they have to offer. And so I don't think rejection always is linked to your issues or that you're not worth it. Absolutely not. Like, you're one of a kind. And sometimes people are rejected because that person just doesn't have vision for what their potential is and what they can be and what they possess. So like I'm saying is, like, sometimes you're just flying too low. Pull up, straight up, pull up and fly higher, and you're going to find people in your altitude that you belong with. And when you find someone you belong with, the thing's going to be evident. On the flip side of the coin, if you're just a lazy ass and you're on the couch all day and you have no ambition, no girl's gonna want you. And you're probably rejected because you're just like kind of the scum that floats around on top of the pond. And so I would figure out how to become desirable. I would have ambition. I would have goals. I would have progress in my life. If you're being rejected because you have nothing to offer, then I'm sorry, man. Like, you have nothing to offer. If you cause a lot of drama, if you are constantly blaming other people, it's painful to be rejected. But sometimes that's just a blinking light that maybe there's some self-improvement that needs to happen. So there's flip sides of the coin to this thing. So whether it's like, maybe I got to step back because I've been rejected because there's actually issues that I need to deal with, and that's okay. And you know, not everybody's pawn scum because they don't have a job, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes there's people who are like, oh, I'm just making excuses why I've been rejected. Not because you're a diamond, bro. It's because you need a degree or you need something to offer. But sometimes as a girl, like, there's girls out there that have issues with, you know, just wanting to be loved so bad they push people away through their drama. And maybe you just need to step back and say, how do I need to heal? Maybe you've been wounded from a past relationship and you need to go through a process to get better, and it's painful. So the way that I'd say to deal with that pain is to take a step back from the whole situation, and assess where you're at. Like, am I healthy? Was that just a wrong move on their end? Or maybe is there something that I should probably work on? I think time heals all manner of things. Now, on the flip side of the coin of, like, rejection, flipping it over to, are you breaking up because God said to, or you know it's for the better? Let me just say this. If you're dating for preference over purpose, you're causing yourself pain. If you are not chasing your purpose, you're abusing yourself. Me in my life, I've decided that I'm going to do my best to not date for preference. I've made the mistake for dating for preference, based on attraction, based on chemistry, whatever. But I'm not dating for my purpose, and you're abusing yourself. And you're abusing them too, because if you're not with the right person, you're wasting their time and yours. And so even though it may be painful to break it off now, you're actually saving yourself a lot of pain in the long run, especially if you have a child with this person that you don't belong with, or you marry this person that you don't belong with. It's a lot less painful to end things now and pick up the pieces now when you've been invested for less time. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I'm by no means a relationship expert, but I know the failures of relationship. I know the hard parts of relationships. So I'm speaking to that. So my thing is this, is date for purpose and take your time. Like, there is no reason to rush into relationships because you want to medicate yourself. And that's what I'm going to talk about next, is pain and medication. But take your time. If you need a breakup because you feel like God's leading you towards that, if it's going to be for the better, then I encourage you to do it. And if you're meant to be with that person, then God's not going to let you screw that thing up if you're trying to chase his purpose for you. But sometimes people just need to be let go so they can flourish, and let go so you can flourish. And so you got to figure that out. That's things that I would get counsel on, but that's what I think you should do about that. Moving on to the medication of pain, that's something that I am well versed in. Now, I think people medicate in different ways because a lot of times we just don't want to feel the pain. We medicate with different things, whether it be sex, drugs, alcohol, relationships, success, or mediocrity. I think people will act out. And here's the thing is we'll try to treat the symptom and miss the cause. See, for me personally, I was violent when I was in times of pain. I would isolate. I would get high. I would be overly sexually active. I was angry. And people would try to treat the anger. Or they would try to say, you know, like, stop having sex. You know, you go to Christian and you go to Christian churches and people tell you, like, sex is wrong. And it's really not that. It's just that God has a different design for it. And or people would say, like, you got to stop getting high because you have an issue. And it was like, people were trying to treat the symptom, but I was in pain. And, like, I had dysfunction in my life and in my family and my house that needed to be treated. And I had been left so many times. I was just, you know, I was violent because I had been abused. And I mentioned in there mediocrity as a medication. I believe that. I think people will become mediocre as its own medication because now they don't have to strive for more and they don't have to feel the pain of not meeting a certain bar or certain level. And so they'll stay comfortable and complacent so they don't have to feel the pain of striving for more. But I think, you know, a lot of times that, you know, and then we'll attack the mediocrity, or people will use success to try to numb the pain and we'll attack their success. And a lot of times people are acting out in pain and we're not seeing them as their issue or seeing them for their truth. And so for here's the truth. So if you hide, this is a really, really good part. So take this in is if you hide from your pain, pain will pursue you and pain will persecute you. And if you try to, like I said, if you try to hide your pain, it will rot you from the inside out. And this is what I mean. I came home one night, I'd gone grocery shopping and I had put all my groceries away. For some reason, I don't know why, I always buy potatoes and I never eat them. But this particular night, I don't know why I was afraid of my roommates. I've got 5 roommates. I was afraid of them eating my potatoes. And so I took a bag of my potatoes and I put them under the stove. I put them under the stove and I moved on to putting the rest of my groceries away. And, you know, I went about my life. And about a month or two later, I got a text in the group text from my roommate in our group chat from our, and he's like, and it's a picture of a rotten, cesspool, nasty thing inside of like this plastic, bag. And it's like, it looks like it's alive. I don't know. It was just like a bunch of lumps that it like turned black and gray and like they were growing mold. And he's like, guys, what in the hell is this? And all of us like, I have no idea, bro. I have no clue. And so I get home and I find this bag in the trash. I'm like, I was so curious. I went and looked. And it turns out it was the picture of those nasty, grotesque things were my potatoes. I had hid my potatoes underneath the stove because I was, for some reason, afraid my roommates would eat my potatoes. I don't know what in the world I was thinking, but I forgot my potatoes. And down there in the dark, they rotted and they become disgusting and gross, and I had forgot about them. So the way this relates back to pain is that if you hide your pain in deep, dark places, hoping that it'll just go away, it's in fact going to rot and it's going to fester and it's going to turn into something gross that you never thought it would be. And so here's the truth is that in order for your pain to be healed, you got to reveal it so that it can be healed, whether that be to God in repentance or opening up, or to people so they can help you heal. And I don't mean posting on Facebook. Like, if you post on Facebook about all your issues, it's not that you want to talk about it. You just want attention. You know, a lot of people need to differentiate between a Facebook post and a journal entry. And so, like, honestly, I've seen people have it out with their girlfriend, boyfriend on Facebook. It's like, hey, honestly, like, we have our own lives, and I get Facebook is about sharing your life, but no one cares about this garbage that you're putting on here. So, like, if that's the truth, is that if you're putting out, like, I've got 4,500 Facebook friends. They don't all care about my issues, guys. And that's not them being mean. It's like, they just don't, they have their own life. They have their own stuff to worry about. And so when I say reveal it so it can be healed, I'm saying we got to go down to the root of the issue of our pain. Like, what's causing it? Was it something that happened in your childhood? Was it something that was done to you? Is it something that you did that you're shameful about? Was it a situation or circumstance? Like, what's the root of it? And so if you can get to the root, if you can get to the cause, then you can start to understand, you know, why you've been set back and why you're suffering with certain things and why you have these symptoms, whether it be anger or depression or anxiety or fear, because those are can a lot of times be symptoms of pain that are undiagnosed. So my encouragement to you is don't hide it. You got to reveal it so that it can be healed. another thing about pain is that a lot of people have claimed to be crippled by their pain, but the truth is that they just got hit hard, put on their ass, and instead of getting help and getting healthy, they stayed there, hidden and sulking and pitying themselves until their emotional muscles became so atrophied they couldn't get up, but they still claim to be paralyzed. Here's the thing, is that people aren't gonna like that, what I just said, because now they have a responsibility to deal with their pain. But the truth is this, that it may have been someone else's fault that you got knocked down, but it's only your fault if you stay down. And so here's the thing, is that you have to learn how to get back up from pain. And in my life, like I recently in my life went through an extremely painful season. And so I ran from it and I tried to medicate it and hide it and isolate and do all these different things. And a lot of pain came from the multiplication of my pain, this whole thing. And I stayed down and I was blaming another person or other people for, you know, what was going on. But the truth is that, yeah, I may have gotten knocked down by somebody else, but it was my choice to stay down for that period of time until I figured out that it was my decision, my responsibility to get up, make progress, move forward, become a better person, become a better man, look forward to my wife, to my family, to my career, and not stay in a place of pity and sulking and hidden behind closed doors, wishing things would be different. I had to get up and get out, because the truth is that someone else has it worse and they still made it. So I promise you, whatever your problem is listening today, somebody else in the world has it worse than you. So stop using your pain as an excuse or a crutch. To a degree, we have to suck it up and stop complaining. Like, and I know, like, that's as hard to take in. Like, I get it. Like, your father didn't love you. Maybe you were born poor. You were born fat. You're born ugly. You say that you were born into abuse or born misunderstood. They broke up with me. They left me. You know, those things could be true. They could not be true. Whatever. That's something you have to process and figure out on your own. But I think that you have to understand that somebody else has it worse out there and they're still making rounds. Like, I know a man with no arms and no legs, and he's traveling the world inspirationally speaking. Like, that guy could just be a vegetable. Like, he's literally shaped like a potato with a head, and he's out there changing the world. So what do you have on that guy? Like, and you have so many more. I promise you, probably all of you listening have a leg up. That wasn't meant to be mean on him. And you know, you're still running. And so the truth is that we run from a God who wants to heal us, because sometimes pain brings shame and isolation. And here's the truth, is God is less interested in making sure you're happy rather than causing or allowing events to take place in your life that bring you to a place of being holy. I'm gonna say that one more time. God is less interested in making sure you're happy rather than causing or allowing events to take place in your life that bring you to a place of being holy. Me in my life, I say, God, whatever it takes. Do I have to get beat down, rejected, broken up with, left out? Let it be so, so that your purpose reigns supreme. A grape only produces wine when it's been crushed. So my decision in my life is that I'm going to make the devil pay for the pain and the hurt he's caused me, my family, and the people that I love. I don't even like to sleep in anymore, because the longer I'm awake, the more of a threat I am, and the more time I have to stomp the enemy who tried to rob me. I'll stop letting his tool be my reason to fail and to hide. There's great depth to pain. Pain is not pointless. Pain has a purpose, and we may not understand for days, months, years, or even decades, but here's the thing, is pain is a season and it's temporary. So gotta be honest, people, are you hurting? Are you ignoring your hurt? Is there pain in your life that you're excusing or not addressing? Because you can't let your wound fester. It's time to get to the root of your dysfunction. We got to face our pain. And here's the thing, is I don't want to leave you guys hanging and just kind of beat you up. This one was kind of the straight jab to the chin, but next week is going to be the hug. Part two of The Power of Pain is getting up. I don't want to just say suck it up and not give you practical steps to recovery. So I'm going to give you some steps that I think will help you progress in your walk and your life to make a difference. But here's the thing, is we got to face our pain. We got to look for the roots. And that's your assignment this week, is to go into your childhood, go into your past, even in your present, and say, what's the causation of my pain? And how can I grow? And how can I get better? And what can I change? What needs to go? What needs to stay? So hey guys, I want to thank you for tuning into the 1% podcast. I encourage you to follow me on social media. It's at djamesdutton, T-H-E-J-A-M-E-S-D-U-T-T-O-N. And subscribe to this podcast, share it with people, put it on your story, let the world know, because on the 1% podcast, we're getting 1% better every single day in at least one way. Love you guys. Talk to you next week.